Any superstitions going into the game? Any special thing you carried into the game on Sunday that you had tucked away somewhere?
I did. I always sung. You know, I've learned a lot from my wife over the years. She's so about the power of intention, you know, and believing things that are really going to happen. And she always makes a little altar for me at the game because she just wills it so much. And so she put together a little altar for me that I could bring with pictures of my kids. And I have these little special stones and healing stones and protection stones. And she has me wear a necklace and take these drops she makes. And I say all these mantras. And I stopped questioning her a long time ago. I did. I just shut up and listened. And at first I was like, this is kind of crazy. And then about 4 years ago, we were playing the Seahawks, and she said, you better listen to me. This is your year, but this is all the things you're going to have to do to win. And I did all those things, and by God, you know, it worked. It was pretty good. And then in 2015, it was about early January, and she said, you know how much I love you? And I said, yeah. And she said, I just want to let you know this is not going to be your year. Oh. And of course, we lost. I said, what does 16 look like? And she said, 16 is going to be your year. So it was early January this year, and I said, babe, I asking, like, do we have a chance? And she said, yeah, but you're going to have to do a lot of work, and you're really going to have to listen to me. So, man, I listened to her. And right after the game, she said, see, I did a lot of work. You do your work, I do mine. She said, you're lucky you married a witch. I'm just a good witch.
Welcome back. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to catch up on some topics that have been queued up, all backed up. We're going to talk about John the God. Who's he? Well, he's the cult leader who channels entities to cure cancer. And they arrested him. Could you believe that? Oh my God. Marina Abramović, the spirit cooking, Aleister Crowley loving, cakes of light eaten witch. What's she been doing in the news? We're going to find out. Tom Brady, he plays the sports ball. He plays it pretty well. Turns out his wife is a witch. What are we going to do with that? We're going to learn about it. That's what we're going to do. You're going to learn about it, and you're not going to do anything crazy. You're just going to hear about it. Stuff that in your little back pocket as you walk through your life and see all of the occultism they're burying in the pop culture all around us, while also saying nothing is going on here. There's nothing of occult nature to worry about here. Everything's fine and dandy and normal. It's the New World Order, folks. And we're going to expose it. So, I do want to do a bit of housekeeping first. I know, did a little teasing and tantalizing, but we're going to do a little catch-up, you and I. What happened in my world lately? Well, I released, if you listened to the last show I did here, it was the El Chapo Pink Slime Show. It was a test, as I told you, because I had some issues with the podcast feed. I'm not going to go into that. It's very boring. But the RSS feed redirect, I installed it correctly. I'm learning how to be a webmaster. One day I will. It's such a pain. But anyways, so the show was kept kind of short and very surface level on purpose because I had to work behind the scenes. As you know, I work a 9-to-5 job, so like this is a part-time job and it is an obsession that I cannot turn off. So I do what I can when I can for you. So today we're going to go a little deeper. In fact, I already recorded a Patreon bonus episode. Haven't you signed up for Patreon yet? Oh my goodness. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher gets you the finest things in life. You always wanted to be accepted. You always wanted to be in the cool club. What better way to do that than to give your money to a conspiracy theorist? Yeah, that's right. Did you ever think it would come to this? Did you ever grow up thinking you'd be listening to this nonsense? I didn't think I would. I thought this was insanity. Spent 8 years in college and hundreds of thousands of dollars, well, tens of thousands of dollars. GI Bill paid most of it. $100,000 though, for all that education, that indoctrination, just to doubt all of it. You know, they taught us a lot of ideas about the importance of critical thinking. And this is what happens when you overly criticize everything you're told. Where does it end? I don't know. It's madness, right? Anyways, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher is the support system. If you enjoy the podcast, if you like me, do you like me? Do you really like me? That's a Mandela effect joke. For all you Sally Field Mandela effect junkies out there. It's a support system because, as you know, I speak the truth, and the truth gets denieth on the YouTube and the Google. They hate me. And Google and YouTube run the world, if you didn't know that. Did you see the Jake Paul transhuman push they did? He's got a camera coming out of his arm. Clearly fake video. Well, I don't know. It doesn't look fake, okay. But like the idea of someone putting a digital camera inside their forearm is asinine. But it's transhumanism. They're pushing it because Google has all the patents for digital consciousness upload and download. Because Ray Kurzweil is the director of engineering there, and he is obsessed with this idea of life extension, immortality, bringing his dead father back to life. And Jake Paul, just like Shane Dawson, a tool, a puppet tool, not an original thought in their head, just told what to say, puppets. They've got, you know, I don't know the CEOs of YouTube. I was going to make a really cool joke about the CEO of YouTube or Google having their hand up Shane Dawson's ass and using him like a puppet, but I don't know the name. But it doesn't matter. You get what I'm saying. These YouTube celebrities are props. They're set up and they push whatever agenda or joke or idea their masters tell them to do. I, on the other hand, am an independent free agent. Do and say whatever I desire. But those kinds of things are what got me banned from YouTube. Which is odd because I've got another YouTube channel, right? YouTube, go to Isaac Weishaupt. That's the name of the new channel. I don't have everything uploaded. I don't upload a ton of new stuff because I'm working on a Vimeo channel. I'm uploading all my old content to Vimeo. I pay for the hosting. There's no ad revenue, so you don't have to wait for ads. But I opened up this new channel on YouTube. You heard the story. If you didn't, the short version, YouTube let me open up a new channel, even though they gave me a cease and desist when they banned my first one, saying I can never open another channel. They researched it and they come back and said, you can keep this new channel, but you can't advertise on it. You can't have links to any external things. No, nothing, right? And it's funny because I'll upload a video and I get hit with copyright content violation notices. And I'll go to investigate this to see who's claiming the allegation. Like, for instance, I put a clip of an audio song on there. And I'll look to see, okay, who complained? Surely it's the owner of the song. Nope. It's some other low-budget nobody rapper who stole the same audio clip from the same song to put in his song. He's got 500 views on his video. But YouTube allows that to happen. Why does that work that way? We'll never know. Anyways, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. They got a bonus show. I talked about a survey I sent to them, the results of that survey and their ideas, you know, a little one-on-one. Talked about this fancy dinner I got invited to by Gumroad for being a top seller on Gumroad. And this was years ago when I was in Google's good graces and I had web traffic. They've successfully found a way to shove me to the fourth, fifth page of the internet, which means I don't exist. I am working on that too, though. I'm working on the technical behind the scenes on that too, trying to fix that up. But I do have a Gumroad store, gumroad.com/IsaacW. You can get signed books. You don't care. Just tell me you don't care. So I went to this dinner. The CEO of Gumroad invited me. and I met him, and he was really cool. Really cool dude. So thank you. Honestly, I know I'm always talking trash on here, but thank you for anyone who bought a book. Or even if you download one of my free little videos or free little books I offer on the Gumroad store. All that helps, so thank you. Because I got a great dinner out of it. And it was an open bar. Artisan cocktails. Craft cocktails. And I live in Utah, so I was the only one drinking them, and it was fantastic. No lines. And then on that episode, I also revealed my drama with the Sword and Scale podcast. I mean, that's a little grandiose. It's not like Sword and Scale knows who I am, but I talked about how I overreacted on Twitter, as everybody does. Formal apology, I used the F word on Twitter. I know many people don't like that. As was evident by the large number of unsubscribers I got after I did that. Ugh. Hey, well, you know what am I? What's a fella to do? I'm just a man. I'm just a man with a foul mouth trying to do right. Yeah, so if you want to listen to all that stuff, because I talked about how Sword and Scale got banned from some network. Anyways, it's all on there. So let's get into our first topic. I was listening to Higher Side Chats. You know, Greg Carwood's podcast about conspiracies. Much better than mine. And oh, and on that last Patreon episode, not to keep plugging the Patreon show, but I did give a short list of the podcasts I listen to that I enjoy. I did forget a couple, though. So for those of you who listen on the Patreon show here, Higher Side Chats, I don't know how I forgot to mention them. Greg's got a great show. Fantastic. Also, listen to Evolution of Horror. It's these, I guess they're Brits. I don't know. Talk about horror movies. That's fun, too. But mostly I listen to Audible. So, anyways. I was listening to Higher Side Chats. They had KJ Osborne. He is the man behind the Scariest Movie Ever channel on YouTube. And I reached out to him again because back in July of 18, we were in talks to try to get him on the show. Went back and forth, and then he ghosted, and I thought, well, that was odd. But then on the show, on the Higher Side Chats, turns out he had some health issues. I didn't know that. So I re-engaged with him. We'll see if we can get him on the show. I know I need some guests. You don't want to just hear me, do you? Yeah, you do. No guests from now on. But he, and on the show, he mentions Tom Brady. Okay, you know who that is. He's a football player, quarterback for the Patriots, I think. And he mentions how Tom Brady revealed how his wife is a witch. His wife. What's her name? Giselle? She's a supermodel? Giselle Bundchen? And I don't know anything about either of these people, okay? In fact, I'm so ignorant that when I was trying to... He briefly mentioned it, and then he said he was going to do a video or something. I didn't check to see if he did that yet. I just Googled it to see if I could find it, and I couldn't find it. Turns out I was searching for Tom Hardy. Duh. That's how much I don't watch the sports ball or know who these people are. So I finally figured out, and I go to a link, cheatsheet.com, okay? Says, 6-time Super Bowl champ Tom Brady, 41, sat back in a barber's chair at the Gillette World Shaving headquarters. That's where he opened up about it, exactly how his wife Giselle influences his routines before the big game. You know, I've learned a lot about my wife over the year. No, sorry. No. All right, that sounded more like Rocky. You know, I've learned a lot from my wife over the years, he said. She's so about the power of intention and believing things that are really going to happen. Because, you know, if you're not a supermodel or Johnny football star, it's your fault. You're not doing the law of attraction, idiot. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you drawing the good things? You should be getting up every morning, hit your Warrior 5 yoga pose, and meditate to the, you know, Hindu elephant god for the law of attraction, for things to go your way. It's been your fault the whole time. These rich people, they're something else, aren't they? Then they're paying off the colleges to get their dumb kids in. Idiots. Idiots, and they're running our whole world. Can you believe it? Back to the story here. Brady admitted that her methods are kind of crazy, but he does them anyway. He said, "She always makes a little altar for me at the game because she just wills it so much. The area includes photos of the couple's children for motivation. And I have these little special stones and healing stones and protection stones, and she has me wear a necklace and take these drops she makes. I say all these mantras. And I stopped questioning her a long time ago. I just shut up and listen." Brady claims his wife Giselle accurately predicted the outcome of the Super Bowl again this year. When he asked if he'd emerge victorious, she responded positively. He explained, "She said, yeah, but you're going to have to do a lot of work, and you're really going to have to listen to me, so man, I listened to her. She said, you're lucky you married a witch. I'm just a good witch," Brady said. Then the article, of course, towing the mainstream line. Is Giselle Bundchen a witch? Am I saying her name Bundchen? It's Bundchen. Is Giselle Bundchen a witch? Probably not. But the power of attention is a real phenomenon, and self-confidence goes a long way. Just ask Tom Brady. All right, let's dig in here. The stones and the healing stones. You know, I think all this stuff's interesting, and look, it might work, right? I think there is something to be said for law of attraction, for positive, the power of positive thinking. There's something to be said for that, absolutely. And I don't think these people are wrong. In fact, I'll bet half of this shit works. I think it's a little occultish, right? I think if you're a Christian, you should be concerned. If you're not, hey, go for it, right? The Bible warns about this kind of thing. Divination, witchcraft. This used to be a thing shunned in public. And I don't know if that's the right answer. I don't know if we should shun people just because they have a different belief system. But I think we need to call it what it is. Okay. Tom Brady says she claims to be a witch, a good witch. Then the article says, is she a witch? Probably not. No, dickhead. It says they said it. They said she's a witch. What do you think all that stuff is? And I don't know if she's a witch, but like that's what he's saying. And they're doing little rituals and mantras, and that doesn't mean you're a witch either. Stones doesn't make you a witch. Mantras? Nope, not a witch either. But I am curious to hear more about the rituals that this reporter apparently didn't dig in too far on. So what are we to think about all this? What do you think about all that? I think all of entertainment wants to put forward this image of witchcraft and occult practices as a sort of cool or sort of safe avenue for making things manifest in reality. Now, does it work? I think it probably does. Do I advocate for it? No. Because I think if you go down that path too far, you end up in Satanism territory. But that's just my personal beliefs. By all means, you don't have to follow that. I'm just tainted with the good faith of the good Lord Jesus Christ. And it does feel right because they've been talking about this stuff in the Bible for hundreds of years. I know everyone says, oh, but the Bible, that could be a fake document. It's been altered by man, written by man. What do they know? I don't know. They knew 2,000 years ago to talk about this stuff and warn us about things that are just coming back up to the surface. How do they know that? How do they prophesy? How do they know all the things that were going to happen? The Book of Enoch talks about all these supernatural entities from another dimension. They believe this stuff and it's cool to believe it, but then if you point to the Bible, then it's like, no, that's not the real stuff. You got to go to the Maharishi yoga master. They'll tell you the truth. Next topic. Robbie Williams. Not to be confused with Robin Williams, the comedian the Illuminati killed. It's always a blood sacrifice. It always is. Celebrities don't just die. I'm going to read you the headline here. Robbie Williams admits he's afraid of being taken over by hitchhiking aliens after visit to UFO-plagued ranch. The X Factor judge spoke of his fears on a new documentary featuring Area 51 expert George Knapp. Now, this story touched me in many ways. One, if you watched my video available on, I think it's on YouTube still. I went to Area 51. It's a very good documentary. It's the best Area 51 documentary ever recorded. I want you to check it out. Go to YouTube and look up Isaac Weishaupt, Area 51. Stumble around, you'll find it. Now, the second, number two, why this is important to me is because the ranch he speaks of is Skinwalker Ranch. That's right here in the great state of Utah. The article claims they dub it the Paranormal Disneyland. I don't know about that. But I talked to, I'll call him a friend. I consider him a friend. A man named Ryan Burns. He wrote a book about it. I read it. He lives out near there. He does stuff near there, and paranormal activity follows him. He wrote the first book about it that I read. Anyways, it says here, and you know who George Knapp is, right? If you're like an old-timer back in the golden age of UFO stuff, he was the one that was interviewing Bob Lazar, coast-to-coast stuff. He's always connected in with Art Bell and George Norrie and all those old-timey ghost story folks. Anyways, Robbie Williams, George Knapp, they go to Skinwalker. And in this article, it's the Irish Sun. It says that Robbie has a passion for UFOs. He claims he came within touching distance of a UFO in this documentary. So that's interesting. Now you're probably wondering, what's this documentary? Because I was wondering that too. The documentary, Hunt for the Skinwalker, is based on a best-selling book by George and Dr. Colm Kelleher, who joined a scientific team of PhD-level investigators from the National Institute Discovery Science, who moved into the property to probe the ranch. No pun intended on the probe, right? Spearheaded by Las Vegas billionaire Robert Bigelow. They spent more than a decade at the ranch interviewing witnesses, searching for explanations, and even experiencing unknown forces. Now, they say that Skinwalker is connected into all of these, because there was a bunch of Native Americans living here before the Mormons came and kicked them out. I don't know if that's the history of Utah. I didn't grow up here, but they say the American Navajos talked about the Skinwalkers. They were these ancient witches and shapeshifters. And they claim that they exist in the same area where the Skinwalker Ranch is. Now, the film is actually out. Hunt for the Skinwalker. You can find it on Vimeo. I think you can find it somewhere else. iTunes, probably.
The global public is not ready to have global confirmation of this. A lot of disturbing things will occur. It's just too powerful.
Skinwalker Ranch. This is like the Area 51 of the paranormal.
It was not a single phenomenon. There were a host of things that happened.
Have there been experiences there that have shaken the Pentagon and CIA and other agencies? Absolutely.
Nobody knows what we're dealing with. That's the bottom line. Nobody knows.
This is 30 or 40 hours of material that the public has never seen before.
They saw this humanoid creature crawling through this tunnel, hovering 4 feet above the ground.
Something forced four 2,000-pound bulls to cram themselves into this trailer without opening this door. It's completely impossible.
I've seen things that I can't explain. This was one of the most surprising things that we recorded right after I purchased the ranch.
Is it real?
Oh, yes, I believe it is.
Something is here.
These are real, tangible, physical events. This is game-changing.
It's one thing to be reading about UFOs or other realities or interdimensionals. It's another thing to be staring at it right in the face.
Oh, God.
I'm going to check it out. I haven't seen it yet, otherwise I would be telling you about it. What about Tom DeLonge? What about Blink-182? Tom DeLonge, you know, he's pushing the alien agenda. Looks like he scored a show on the History Channel. A 6-part docuseries on UFOs called Unidentified: Inside America's UFO Investigation. Says here it's going to air in May. So I'm curious as to what that would be. Among those being interviewed are former Pentagon official Luis Elizondo. What do you know? You know his name because he was one of the people working on the black budgeted program looking for UFOs that they told the public about. Again, my ideas on Tom DeLonge and this whole thing, this disclosure nonsense, is a psyop. I think the official story that Tom wants you to believe is that he met all of these retired, super high-level folks with top-secret cosmic security clearances, retired generals, and all this stuff. And this is his story. I read his book. And they said, oh, you know what? I'm going to put it all out on the line. I'm going to risk my whole career and livelihood. And I'm going to tell Tom DeLonge, a punk rocker. Well, I guess they're pop now. Blink-182 is more pop. They used to be punk. I'm gonna have him reveal the truth to the world. Come on. Give me a break. He says they pulled him into the SCIF, which is a top secret secure room where they talk about classified data. He claims they pulled him into the SCIF to tell him about these UFOs and how they're going to reveal the truth to the masses. And to me, that's all a psyop, because that's not how this works, okay? I know this. I've worked in the military. Worked with the military. I know how this works. First off, you need to have a security clearance to go into a SCIF or to talk about the secret data, classified data, whatever it is. So we're supposed to believe Tom not only has a security clearance, maybe you can pay cash money to get the security clearance. Maybe. I don't really know how that works, but we're to believe he's got the security clearance. And they put him in the secret SCIF room to tell him this stuff. But for him to do that, he has to have a need to know. Just because you have a security clearance doesn't mean you get access to everything. If I have a top secret clearance, doesn't mean I can go read any top secret document that I want. You have to have a need to know. That's how this works. They compartmentalize everything. That's how I think the Bob Lazar thing went. I talked about Bob Lazar a few months ago on the show. On the documentary, he's very believable. I believe he's telling the truth. But the problem is, I think that they were showing him things for him to leak it to the masses. And we could dismantle this a million ways as to why they're doing this. But what Bob Lazar, like, okay, for instance, Bob Lazar says, oh yeah, I walked by this room, it was a window, and I could see in the window, and I could see two guys interrogating a little alien in a chair. But it was real quick. It was a half second. We were just zooming down the hallway, and that was that. If that happened, which I believe that he believes this, or he saw that, it was a disinformation setup because they compartmentalize everything. Not one engineer is going to – they're not that sloppy, right? Like, not one engineer is going to see all this stuff and put it all together. That's what William Cooper talks about in his book, Behold a Pale Horse. He talks about when he was in Naval Intelligence about some documents that he saw, and he said, look, I don't know if maybe they wanted me to see these and spread the word as a disinformation plot. But he says, look, I don't know. That could be. But I feel like that's what happened with Bob Lazar. I feel like they might have had that going on, but no way. Like, they're not going to just... I mean, how sloppy is that? You're just going to have the alien chilling in there in the glass window. Like, oh, no, they saw it. Like, the janitor's just going to walk by and see the alien in the chair. I mean, come on. How dumb do you think these people are? Okay, a couple more little short ones. Then we're going to get into Marina Abramović, John the God. That's what you came here for. Maybe. Maybe not. And these are old news, okay? Tekashi 6ix9ine. I did the whole special on him, and I postulated that he would get out in this year, 2019, because they were talking about how he had a possible life sentence. Well, not to say I predicted it, but looks like he might get out this year. How, you might ask? Well, he's singing to the cops. He's snitching. The minimum sentence he had before was 47 years. It was 47 to life for... I believe it was like conspiracy, RICO charges, that kind of thing, gang stuff. You know, he's 22 years old, and he was on top of the world. And look, I don't condone it. I don't think that's okay. I think if you're gonna play big boy games, you gotta play it the whole way through. You know, like that lifestyle you signed up for, you don't snitch, right? But on the same note, like, I also get it. You know, I'd be like, yo, you can call me a snitch all you want. I'm not sitting in this jail cell. But I also don't live a gang lifestyle, right? Anyways, big ups to my dude Hot Rod. He did some math for me, some basic math for me. Tekashi 6ix9ine is 22. If he did the 47 years, the minimum sentence, he would get out at 69 years old, predictively programmed through tattoos on his face. Tekashi 6ix9ine's got the number 69 tattooed on his body a couple hundred times. His whole arm is covered in the number 69. Is that weird or what? Is that something? If he would have had the minimum sentence, he would serve 69. He'd be out at 69. And look, you wanted more personal opinions about Tekashi 6ix9ine. I know you did. Look, if the guy puts out more music, I'll probably listen to it. I don't care. You know, like, I like his music. Hate me if you want. Beyonce and Jay-Z pushing that vegan lifestyle. There's a whole conspiracy floating around about this. And on some levels, like, and this is where I have a real hard time with the conspiracy community. Because I have these sort of granola liberal values, and they butt heads with a lot of the conspiracy stuff. But, you know, anytime I see Beyonce and Jay-Z pushing something, I'm like, okay, Illuminati confirm. Illuminate confirm you to the vegan lifestyle. No, but like, I think plant-based diets are good. I don't think it's sustainable or good for Earth or for our bodies to eat animals all day, every day. I think that our palate needs to be readjusted, but I'm also not a vegan or a vegetarian. Like, I eat meat, but I eat, like, you know, I minimize it, right? Maybe for dinner, I try to find the granola brands that are nice to the animals. You got to do a lot of research on that, though, because there's all kinds of levels of deception in that world. I get the pasture-raised eggs. I eat eggs every morning. Which, by the way, did you see the study? I always complain about the scientists and the studies. There was a study dropped the other day. Eating one egg a day or whatever it was. It was some minute amount. One egg a day and you're going to die of a heart attack, heart disease, blah, 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 whatever. And they're pushing the plant-based diet. But, on some levels, I agree with the plant-based diet. I don't think we should throw meat away altogether, but like, I think we could reduce the usage of meat. There's a lot of people out there that just mindlessly eat meat every meal. And like, I'm a big pet lover kind of guy. I got real empathy for these animals. I don't feel good about it, right? Like, if I had to go kill an animal, I'd be a vegan. It just wouldn't happen. So, like, I'm a hypocrite on one level, right? So, I try to, like, do the best I can with what I can. But, man, what? I'm not going to eat a steak again? Are you kidding me? Kill me now, right? But I've been eating two eggs a day for months now. My cholesterol is the lowest it's ever been. And let me tell you the secrets to success here. Miracle cures they don't want you to know about. I eat two eggs for breakfast, and then I eat a ton of vegetables throughout the day, nuts. And then for dinner, I would have a piece of meat with a vegetable side. That's when I'm like on A+ diet stuff. I did that for about 3 months. And now I'm kind of like, I do that most of the time, and then like Friday and Saturday, ease up, right? And then I eat whatever, garbage, pure high-octane garbage. Little Caesars, pretzel stuffed crust. Yeah, two of them this weekend. That's right. But yeah, you got it. But the problem is, you know, I eat pretty healthy, as many vegetables and fruits as I can, and nuts. And then CrossFit, right? Cult of CrossFit. I used to roll my eyes at the CrossFit thing. Let me tell you a little personal tale here. I used to roll my eyes at the CrossFit bros. I would see them because they were in the corner of, I used to go to the regular gym, and they were in the corner doing their dumb pull-ups that didn't do anything. And I thought, idiots, why don't they do a pull-up right and just do less of them? And then there was a period of time where I was trying to reenlist into the military because I'm a brainwashed lunatic, right? Like basic training, that's what they do. They brainwash you. Anyways, don't judge me. And I was trying to reenlist. Thank God it didn't work out. This is years ago. And I was trying to get into EOD, right? Because I used to work in munitions. And I always respected the EOD guys. That's Explosive Ordnance Disposal. But to do that, you got to pass through rigorous physical stuff. So I was working out with the EOD guys whilst trying to reenlist, doing all the paperwork and such. And they were doing CrossFit workouts, and it just kicked my ass. And I was like, this is crazy, you know? I'm out of shape. And turns out I couldn't reenlist because, whatever, long story, you don't care that much. And then I went back to my regular gym, and I said, you know what? Let me try this damn CrossFit out. And it changed my life entirely. So I would give free plugs to CrossFit all day, every day. If you were like me, where like you couldn't stomach another 5 minutes at the gym lifting dumb weights, doing bicep curls with your headphones on, go try the CrossFit. It'll change your life. Anyway, okay. All right. I know. Vegans and CrossFit. Shut up, right? 21 Savage, he's a rapper. He's from the UK. Another fake news rapper. Which was hilarious because right after Tekashi 6ix9ine was snitching, 21 was on, I don't know, Instagram or Facebook Live. Dumb out, you know, all snitches die and all this stuff. And then the next day they deport his ass because he's British. Isn't that something? I talked about these rappers in my book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. And I love rap music, okay? In fact, I love 21 Savage. His new album is pretty good. Got 3-6 Mafia on there. The old 666 Mafia. Or maybe it's just Project Pat. Actually, I think it's just Project Pat. Anyways, one more little thing to catch up. And then we're getting into it, okay? And then I promise you, Marina Abramović, Spirit Cooking, coming up next. Madonna, she be tweeting. Big ups to Nick Farm? Wait a minute. Sorry, I had to pause for a minute. I had to look it up. Nick Farm. Sorry. Nick Farm, always hooking me up on information, so I wanted to make sure I got that right. You know, big ups. So Madonna, on January 23rd, tweeted, "Think before you act." And then there was an image of some text. And the text says, "When you sell your soul to the devil, you're not allowed to ask for it back." Now, what's curious about this is that XXXTentacion, his birthday was January 23rd. The same day she tweeted that. About selling one's soul to the devil. Because, as you know, many, was it last summer, 2018? I did a whole podcast about Triple X Temptation and the Illuminati symbolism behind his death. So that was something definitely worth noting. Now, let's get into Marina Abramović. There's a protest against her artwork. Do you know who that is? Let's go into who she is, right? Marina is one of these avant-garde artists who does wacky stuff for ritualistic effect. She is very connected to the mainstream celebrities. Like, she's in one of Jay-Z's videos. She became infamous during the 2016 election when WikiLeaks released some emails where John Podesta, who was Hillary Clinton's, I think, campaign manager at the time, well, his brother was invited to a performance by Marina Abramović. This performance, it was called Spirit Cooking. A lot of people didn't know what this was at the time. The mainstream media professed up and down how it's this harmless avant-garde art performance where Marina Abramović uses a couple bodily fluids, you know, a little blood, a little semen, not a big deal, to make artwork. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, if you look up InfoWars' coverage of this, they link it to the practices of Aleister Crowley and various Satanists and occultists who release energy through the bodily fluids. So I looked it up on Thelemapedia, because Aleister Crowley's religion, of course, is called Thelema, right? It's confirmed that this is indeed very similar to Aleister Crowley and the Thelema religion, as the mock communion that they do, the Gnostic Mass, as it were. Crowley would utilize blood, some claim from children even, in order to create the occult wafer used in the Thelema ceremonies. In his text, he writes, "The best blood is of the moon, monthly. Then the fresh blood of a child or dropping from the host of heaven, then of enemies, then of the priest or of the worshippers, last of some beast, no matter what." So blood is very important here, right? And if you look at all these occult ceremonies, we could argue the spirit cooking is intended to connect the macrocosm to the microcosm. The hermetic axiom for the witches, as above, so below. Abramović describes it as sustenance for the spirits. Okay. She is feeding the entities. And we're going to get into, well, let me break this up into two different little parts for you. Now, the occultists, the Satanists, they all believe in these entities in another dimension. They believe in the interactions with the spirit world. And then when I was researching for this stuff in 2016, I was connecting it to Hillary Clinton and her. Supposedly she was going to be the big disclosure agent for the big alien agenda, which I think is a lie. If you read The Dark Path, you'll understand why. Now, Abramović, of course, working with Jay-Z and Beyonce, Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga has got a picture online you can see, taking part of the spirit cooking, pulling the blood from a bathtub. It sounds crazy. I know. Mainstream media wants you to think it's not that crazy. Trust me, it's insane. And the reason Lady Gaga makes an appearance, I almost predicted this kind of thing. How do I know what's going to happen before it happens? It's not me. I'm just paying attention. As you also are, because you are listening to the podcast. You've subscribed to the podcast already. Surely you've dropped that review in the podcast. It took 2 seconds. You just scrolled down and hit the 5-star on it. Maybe you even bought a book. Maybe you even bought Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic, my book about hip-hop and the magic conspiracies of the occult. You're very woke. Congratulations. But in that book, Crowley talked about using excrement, feces, blood, semen, in order to draw demon spirits closer. Again, it's this concept of a thin veil between our world and another and these entities that you could interact with. And I wrote about it in the book because Lady Gaga at the time had a perfume called Fame. And what did she say about it? She said, "Blood and semen is in the perfume, but it doesn't smell like it. You just get sort of the after feeling of sex from the semen, and the blood is sort of primal. The blood was taken from my own blood sample, so it's like having a sense of me on your skin." What is going on, right? Is that weird or what? Well, let's look more into Marina then. She has a documentary called The Space in Between. She basically confirms all the stuff we always talk about. She starts out suggesting that she is in fact an alien, a concept I talked about in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. These rappers think they're aliens. She very explicitly says her DNA is galactic and not from this world.
Last time I was in Brazil, I went to this shaman, Denise, and she looked into meteorite stones to tell me where I come from. And she said, "You know, you never feel at home anywhere." And that was true. You never feel at home anywhere because you are not from this earth. Your DNA is galactic. You come from the faraway stars. And you come to the planet Earth with a purpose. And I said to her, "But what is my purpose?" "Your purpose is to learn humans to transcendent pain."
Then, she talks about the connection between rituals and performance, and how her whole art is exploring these things. She claims the connection is a transformation because that is what a ritual is for. It is transforming into something else, the higher self. She says the stronger the performance, the stronger the transformation. This is, of course, support for the high-profile ritual. That's why we see this happen at the Super Bowl. That's why it's always on the main stage of life. On the Grammys or whatever, right? The stronger the performance, the stronger the transformation. These artists are making contact with their higher self, which we heard from Aleister Crowley. He talks about the holy guardian angel, right? Making contact with everyone. Everyone has one, and they need to make contact and transform themselves. The alchemical process.
I was always asking myself, what is the connection between rituals and performance? And why I'm so fascinated about rituals, and why rituals for me are so important to see, to go through, and to learn from them. I think the connection is transformation. You go through the ritual, and you're not the same after this. You learn something, you become different. And performance is very similar. You create a script, and you're dealing inside the performance with something which I call a higher self. And you put such a strong task on you. The stronger performance, the stronger the transformation is.
In the show, she attends a ritual and she compares it to some familiar names, David Lynch, Stanley Kubrick. She says that she sees all these symbols and meanings with, she's talking about Jurdef, which I talked about him during the Marjorie Cameron series. A three-part series I did on exploring the occult artwork and messaging of Marjorie Cameron, the Scarlet Woman for Jack Parsons. She name drops the Rosicrucians and Helena Blavatsky. It's all the same stuff, always over and over.
Unprepared. I arrive here and I have no idea. I'm going from the one chamber to another chamber and just going with the flow and see what will happen. This is like a big Kubrick movie of the David Lynch or anything I could experience. It's everything from my past mixing up from Blavatsky to Gurdjieff and the Tibetan monks. The symbols are mixed up with so many different things that I can perceive. They are Rosicrucians, they are Celtic, Tibetans, they are ancient Indian symbols, the colors, the pieces.
And also, if you weren't convinced yet, because I'm working on a project to connect the concepts of the mental components of the occult desires, contact with aliens and entities, and occult practices. I'm working on that behind the scenes. It might be many months till that's done, but this is part of that research. And in this documentary, Abramovich asks, what's behind the cosmos? And she reveals that as a child, she would actually speak to and make contact with these entities.
My main question as a child was always not so much about cosmos, but what was behind the cosmos, what was behind everything. As a child, I was very alone. My mother has this strange phobia of cleanness. Everything had to be clean. Everywhere there are bacteria. If anybody wants to see me, they had to come into the room with a mask. She also didn't like me to have friends because they could infect me with the viruses. As a being isolated, I developed my own world, and this world was pretty much invisible. Even if they give me toys, dolls to play, I was not interested in objects. I play very much with the shadows. I started to see invisible beings, and I would talk to them, and sometimes I would see them like a flickering lights.
Now, that's Marina Abramovich, and during that same documentary, this is the first time I heard of the guy, during that same documentary, she visits, I believe they're in Brazil, doesn't matter, she attends a I don't know, they call it a cleansing ritual, an event, right, with this guy named John the God, and he's this medium who lets spirits into his body, unless the entities take over and he's healing all these people.
He have the knife on the eye, which is such a precise and such an incredible detail work, and his face is up and eyes are closed.
Well, he's not doing the operation.
That's
the man. Yeah. To me, the way I see him, he's just such a clear medium. Medium meaning that he can let other spirits come into his body and literally take over his whole psyche. Entities are everywhere and they're assisting him greatly all the time.
And you know, like all these charlatans and new agers, it's all very believable, right? And look, maybe it is, I don't know. I wouldn't waste my time. If you watch it, it's very creepy. He slices some guy's eyeball open. It's insanity. But I mean, what's more insane? Big Pharma? You want Big Pharma to work on you? So John the God, that was a long way around. I wanted to explain a little bit about Marina because I think she's a very important element here. I brought up Marina because she was in the news, right? There's a headline here. Dozens of Polish Catholics show up to silently pray at Marina Abramovich's show, claiming she worships the devil. Oh, ain't that something? Says she's caused a panic over a misplaced belief that she worships the devil. Okay. So a bunch of Polish Catholics went out there. They did a sort of silent protest. Let me see. I'm trying to get to the point in the article that, okay, here we go. This is the best part, right? This supports what I've been saying, how the mainstream loves to, they love to not call it how it is. Last paragraph here. Rumors of Abramovich, and this is from news.artnet.com. Rumors of Abramovich's supposed satanic predictions can be traced to the 2016 U.S. presidential election, during which the artist played an unlikely role in WikiLeaks' hack of the email account of John Podesta, the chairman of Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Abramovich had sent a message inviting John's brother, Tony Podesta, a collector and longtime Abramovich supporter, to an evening of spirit cooking with Marina Abramovich. Despite its benign description, a dinner night with Marina during which she would teach you and other backers at this level how to cook a series of traditional soups. Members of the far right worked themselves up into a frenzy about the event, linking it to a sex cult or bizarre occult ritual. John Podesta ultimately did not attend. The $10,000 a head fundraiser for Marina Abramovich's institute, the artist told Art News at the time, was just a funny name for a normal dinner, and anybody who wants can read my memoirs and find out that my work is far away from Satanism. Marina has no further comments about the Satanist matter simply because she provided plenty of explanations already in the past. Now, I would argue that maybe she doesn't worship the devil. Maybe, right? But she for sure is in the same ballpark. She is for sure into the occult, which doesn't mean you're a devil worshiper automatically. It means you're in the same ballpark, though, sometimes, because oftentimes it leads to Satanism. Satanism in the sense of ritual, magic, antinomian practices, left-hand path stuff, which all sort of goes down the same avenue, which is why they entice kids with Harry Potter and magic. And then when those kids become teenagers, they show them the magicians, a show that sells magic as sexual. Then they have them go to, when the kids are college age, then they show The Order on Netflix, which is all about ritual magic and occultism. Now, John the God, we didn't finish that thing. He was arrested after more than 300 women accused him of sexual abuse. Ain't that something? According to the Department of Public Ministry in the Brazilian state of Goiás, the women had contacted, I'm not going to pronounce this person's name. Oh, that the name of John the God. Oh boy, I'm going to butcher this. I don't even know how to start this. Wayeo Teixeira de Faria, John the God, basically. The woman contacted him for spiritual healing, and the accusers are from various countries around the world. John the God turned himself into authorities Sundays, but his attorneys say he's innocent. John the God, who is not a trained doctor, says he calls on the spirits of dead doctors while performing so-called spiritual surgeries and treatments. Like if you watch that Marina Abramovich documentary, you'll see him literally take a scalpel and cut some guy's eyeball, the blade right down the center. Ugh. Or maybe it's his cornea. I'd have to watch it again. But anyway, I see a blade touching an eyeball and blood coming out. It's pretty disturbing. Sometimes using medical instrument to cut his patients without anesthesia. He gained international fame in 2013 after an interview with Oprah Winfrey, who has since removed the interview from her site and released a statement about the situation. Oh, man. Oh, Oprah, what are you doing? She falls into that new agey stuff pretty quick. And like I've said in the past, you know, I kind of like Oprah sometimes. Super Soul Sunday, very uplifting show. Does she have occultist new agers on there? All the time. You just got to know. You just got to discern. Use what you can from it. Now, one more thing I want to talk about with John the God. At the beginning of the Space in Between documentary, he gives a little speech about how God gave him this power, but he uses a very curious reference. He references him as the great architect. Then, almost two sentences later, he says how he used to be a bricklayer, a Freemason. I'd play it all, but it's in Spanish or maybe Portuguese, I can't tell. I had to read the subtitle, so Anyways, yeah, and then he shoves this instrument 10 miles into some guy's nose. The guy looks like he wants to die. Marina wanted to learn how people use and give energy. And then he's got these symbols of the triangle all over the place that are associated with John the God. Anyways, the great architect, of course, the Freemason term for God. And then in the next sentence, he talks about being a bricklayer. Is he a Freemason? Maybe. Yeah, so that's the show here. I am running out of time. I had a couple more things, but I'm going to save that for the next show. A couple more news items to catch up with, and then we're all caught up. So, I appreciate your time. And I want you to show me your appreciation. Hit the little review thing on the podcast. It only takes a second. I'll wait for you. Pull it up. Go to your little app on iTunes. Scroll down. You'll see the rating thing with the stars. Fill that baby in. If you got time, you could even write me a little note. I read them all. I really do. Anyways, I do appreciate that. So thank you for doing that. And as always, I want you to stay woke.